We then move on to paper number 16. And we have a new star. Leonardo.
Leonardo.
He's just going away for a nice cup of tea.
No,
we're not after that yet.
Agenda paper 16 is about a request to clarify the requirements of Art ICE 19 on the determination of the discount rate in a multi-country regional market sharing the same currency, for example the Eurozone. The issue is whether the basket of high-quality corporate bonds used to determine the discount rate should be determined at a country level or at a currency level. The Interpretation Committee noted that according to paragraph 83 of ICE 19, the currency of bonds used to determine the discount rate shall be consistent with the currency of the post-employment benefit obligation. The Committee therefore recommended that the ISB should amend ICE 19 to annual improvements in order to clarify that the basket of high-quality corporate bonds used to determine the discount rate should be determined at the currency level. As a consequence, the depth of the market for high-quality corporate bonds should be assessed at currency level and not a country level. The committee also requests the staff to ask the ISB whether it wants to clarify which government bond should be used in a multi-country regional market sharing the same currency. The question is whether an entity should use the government bonds issued by the government of its country, regardless of their credit quality, or whether it should use high-quality government bonds issued by other governments in the same currency. The committee was unable to reach a consensus on this additional issue. Consequently, in our view, if the ISB wants to address the government bonds issue, this should be done in a separate narrow-scope project. We therefore recommended that the ISB should not specify in these annual improvements which government bonds should be used in a multi-country regional market sharing the same currency. We ask the board member if they agree with our recommendation. Our proposed amendment is in Appendix A of the paper. Thank you.
Any comments? Martin?
I have one question, man. I understand why this is done, but would that also mean, for example, that a company which is determined its discount rate, for example, a German company has done it for a kind of basket of high-quality corporate bonds of German issuers, that based on this change, they have now to go to all other European countries and build a basket where they determine their discount rate then on all countries which are belonging to the Eurozone and have to change really their method how to determine then the average discount rate. Or, because my understanding was a different around. It was maybe in a country there is not sufficient liquidity in this and therefore they can go broader. But if in a country there is sufficient, do they have now to go to all the countries, the Euro countries, and build a basket where they determine their discount rate?
The current practice is already considered or at the Eurozone level.
They have to do that. Was it
it's already the practice. But because they use the Eurobox database that is at Eurozone level. They don't look only at the country. The predominant practice is to look at the all the bonds issued in the Eurozone.
So that was discussed in the Integration Committee and that is already practiced.
Yes. It's the predominant practice. Yes.
But then the question is why we don't, why we changing the practice.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that is the idea. If you are in a country, if you are a corporate in a country where there is a deep market, deep liquid market for high quality corporate loans, you don't have to do anything. If you are in a country where there is not such market locally, then you have to go to the Euro market to have a look. But I don't think we intended, or maybe I'm wrong, to have a change of practice in those countries which have currently a deep liquid market. Is that
Right? Yeah. It's certainly not a change in method. It would be a change in population that you apply your method to. The way that this is building on an old IFRIC update rejection notice, and that was saying you look at, if you are in a currency zone, you look at the currency zone. And so I read that and I agree with what Leo has just said, that practice that we've heard from is that they do look at these Europe-wide, Euro-wide indexes to get their data.
But in practical terms, if you have already a large market in your jurisdiction, why should you go out and try to change the calculation by including more less high quality bonds in other countries, because they will be still, this basket will be different.
They still need to be high quality bonds.
Exactly, but the effect can be a change in the rate used for discounting, because by widening this population to other countries, you have a wider basket, and the average of this high quality might not be the same as your own market.
Philippe, if I can, I think on this, just from a practical matter, many companies find it easiest to just refer to an externally compiled index rather than doing their own analysis of what is high quality corporate. And in my experience, you know, as Leonardo and Michael were saying, an index like iBox, which is used pretty widely, is European wide. So companies maybe not consciously, once those indices euro wide became available, they were looking to it. But I think to both your point and Martin, maybe we just have to make sure when this annual improvement is done that it's written in a way that it gives, we don't try and force everybody must look Euro-wide.
Exactly.
If they do have the information, because I think the key question in all of this has been, if you don't have high-quality corporate in your country, do you want to go, you know, can you or must you go to the government? And the issue where it came up was in a country in the Euro that had a relatively high-yield government bonds, so that they were getting a bump up above the European-wide high-quality corporate rate.
I understand perfectly. I remember very well the discussions with regulators on how this came from, and just my concern is that we don't overshoot by
forcing them,
encouraging people to move to the euro market. We should not, by the same token, ask people who have a deep liquid market in their country to go to the eurozone market. What's the benefit of the change?
I think they actually have already.
Well, some may have, but some may not.
Maybe we can say that. What is the purpose really was? If you don't have a liquid market, then you should also look at the broader market. But if you have a liquid market, maybe we are not forcing them to go to the euro market.
Does this apply anywhere else other than Europe? Common currency then?
That's exactly my question.
Is
this more than Europe? Are we trying to design? Because I think of there are a couple of Latin American countries which use dollar, and I think Zimbabwe did recently with the US dollar or something.
They use a mixed currency, but there's a West African currency union, there is a Caribbean currency union, an element of Southern African currency.
Yeah, I know some Latin American countries. I want to ask one question though.
This,
soon, next year. Not yet. So, question for you: what if the currency is completely pegged to the US dollar, for example? Would this be applicable, because it's so restrictive that provided these bonds are issued in the currency in which the benefits are to be paid? I just want to make sure what happens in those currencies where it's a one-for-one change in the local currency.
It's not covered here, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, should we not, when you're doing it, should we not take that into consideration rather than just attack this issue that is for the European situation at this point in time? But while we are doing it, might as well think about that. That's the only thought I had.
We should not. And we have some good examples of countries have tried that, and then all of a sudden just collapses.
But they're doing it though. We are not telling them to do how to do their monetary policy. That is their monetary policy already. there is a monetary policy already, and how do you do this in this situation?
Many of these countries have interest rates that are absolutely, totally different from US dollars.
But I think that's the point. It's economically, they are essentially operating in, say, US dollars. Does that mean that it's your currency?
They are not. Some, one or two perhaps are, but most of those who try that, they are trying to fake the numbers. And
very good.
I'm not so familiar with the area. I know the angle from Sweden. Whether there should be a clear limit on what condition we should use the currency in the whole zone. The reason why I ask is because, you know, the pension is highly regulated, you know, in this area, and the tax purpose and others. If both asset liability sides all localized, even though they use the same currency, do we reference to the other countries' government bond rate?
No, you don't.
Go ahead, then.
May I? Let's assume you're so tightly regulated, both asset liability or isolated, nothing to do with other countries, but of course they use the same currency. Should they base this requirement to reference to other countries' government bonds?
It's
a complement to that with a real example. Ecuador, they don't have a currency, a local currency anymore. They use dollar.
Ecuador, right?
It's not pegged to dollar. It's not a currency board. The dollar is their local currency. So how this is the same question as legal. How would they apply this? They would have to go to the U.S.
I try to use Hong Kong and Taiwan as examples.
What we are trying to clarify with this amendment that is already in the standard is that I have a liability in dollar. My discount rate should be determined using high quality corporate bonds issued in dollar. It is already in the standard. We are not changing the standard.
So no, but then
where is it in the standard at the moment?
In the second sentence of
But I don't agree with that. You make it a statement of the paper. And it's almost that the word country or countries has been used by mistake. But I don't think it was. I think they did mean country, not currency. Now, I'm not arguing against changing it, but I don't think we can make the assumption that it was all initially intended to be currency. I don't think that's right. I think it was intended to be country.
This was obviously put together in the days before, certainly, the European Currency Union. And so in those days, currency and country, they would have been one and the same.
Well, maybe. I mean, some of these ones that the other people are talking about may still have existed. There were countries way back that were using the US dollar.
But what the focus is on is the currency of denomination of the liability. That's what we're focusing on. And so we're trying to determine what's the appropriate discount rate discount that particular liability, and we're saying that it has to be high quality corporate bonds in the same currency. But we're saying that when looking for that population of high quality corporate bonds, you should not limit yourself just to your own country if the currency is actually part of a broader currency zone.
I understand your argument. I'm disagreeing with the fact that that's what the original standard intended.
No, and this is. We had several years ago an IFRIC rejection notice, but the IFRIC's view was that if you were in a currency zone, you should look at the currency zone wide population for determining your high quality corporate bonds. Because this issue has come back to us now, the IFRIC has decided that it should recommend actually moving that out of simply rejection notice and codifying it, putting it into the standard. So it is a change from what's in the standard, but it's one where we're saying let's align the standard with the IFRIC previous decision.
I think the last sentence in paragraph 83 goes partly to your point, because paragraph 83 says now and said before that the currency in terms.
I understand that, Mary. My point was, I don't think that. I think the two were done differently, quite deliberately. I understand it's in the paper that it says that last sentence, and I understand that point being made. I don't agree with it. That's all. Way good.
Now, Michael, the examples, you know, the Amalu just say, you know, Ecuador, U.S. dollar. Michael, further to meet them and then ask questions from them. Should, you know, Ecuador use U.S. government bond rate? Yeah.
What is the currency of denomination of the liability? Is that
the U.S. dollar?
U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
No. This is my point, you know.
Obama, can you answer that one for us in Ecuador?
Yeah, but this is associated with the language here, because if Ecuadorian companies issue high-quality bonds within the internal market in dollars, they can use it.
Yeah.
It's written, so why not?
But if they don't have high-quality bonds, take the Ecuador example, because it's an easier one to know, or more stark one to know. Would you be happy for them to go to the U.S. market?
Yeah.
And it says,
high-quality
bonds.
No. You then adhere to that last sentence in paragraph 83, which talks about the currency of the corporate bond needing to be consistent with the currency of the obligation itself.
Yeah, but you might have corporate bonds issued in Ecuador, considered high quality in the market, and they are in dollar, so...
Which I suppose brings us back to Martin's point.
Yeah.
Martin is saying, can you limit yourself to the high quality corporate bonds within your country if they're in the appropriate currency?
Or even more, should you limit yourself?
Indeed. And what this proposal here is say, look at a broader pool.
Yes.
No, I'm a little bit confused, you know. What I want to say, even though the country use US dollar as the dominant, is a, you know, local currency, but all the asset liability will purely isolated in the country. We still require you to reference to US government bond rate. Am I right?
Yeah.
Now, I feel hard. Let's take Hong Kong and maybe futures, Taiwan as an example. Because the many China, Hong Kong are more closer. And then in Hong Kong, use Chinese yuan quite popular. And more Hong Kongese governments or corporate issue Chinese RMB denominated, you know, bonds.
I can't use if I got the pension in Hong Kong dollars.
Now, let's assume, you know, the company also pay, you know, Chinese dollar. But the liability, even though, you know, the currency zone still totally isolated, you know, because there is foreign exchange control in China. We now say that the Hong Kongese company have to choose discount rate, compare between the two sides.
The problem is your example, Wego, because what you're saying is that they have a pension obligation in renminbi. In the Chinese currency. If they have the pension obligation in the Chinese currency,
they have to
using the Hong Kong rate is wrong.
Yeah.
They must use the Chinese currency.
Yeah.
But if you assume that your two currencies
but their
pension obligation is in Hong Kong dollars, then they need to measure a Hong Kong dollar rate.
No, you need to use it. No, I say they use the renminbi as a currency, you know. But the question is whether they should use they compare the bonds issued in China and in Hong Kong. Is it what will require?
The underlying obligation.
That's right. Daryl's answer is that if you're paying your pension out in Hong Kong dollars, you've got to go to the Hong Kong market. If you're paying it out in Chinese currency, you've got to go to the Chinese market.
But
I think that's what
my assumption is if that's the two markets, now even though you turn currency, the two markets totally, less than totally isolated.
Yeah, still you have to use it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what this paragraph is.
And there's a good reason for that. I mean, as a beneficiary of this, you know, plan that you're looking at, doesn't want to assume foreign currency risk
in the context of, you know, the benefits that they're hoping to get over a 20, 30 year period of time. And if you're investing in foreign assets, you're going to have that. Now, you know, potentially you're
can I just use that sorry to interrupt you, but just use that argument in using the same currency. So you're in a country in Europe that's got very high interest rates, for instance, and then a lot of the rest of Europe's got very much lower. But you're in that country and you're operating in that country and your employees are in that country. Why should you be able to go to Italy or
the common currency? The common currency. That's what.
But the bond rates in your country reflect the conditions in your country. We're then moving and saying the economic because there's one currency, we've got one common.
There's a benefit. There's a benefit as a result of that. Obviously, for companies, employees in a company where they're, you know, in a country where the perhaps, you know, bond market is weaker than relative to, you know, employees in a company where it's stronger. So I mean that's one of the advantages and disadvantages of having, you know, this multi-region, you know, currency issue, as we all know. But I think it's a logical consequence, this interpretation is a logical consequence of the creation of the European Monetary Union.
But the idea is not, in my mind, that the employee has anything to do with this. The company has an obligation. And the thought must be that you can.
I'm not saying that the employee does have anything to do with it.
You can go to the market and you can refinance yourself. So thereby, there's an indication of how you can do that.
No.
And on this, I think it's also stepping back and remembering that IFRS 19 is explicitly not doing a company-specific discount rate for this. It's following. It's saying we're not going to go as far as saying you must do a risk-free rate to discount this obligation. If, you know, it kind of gave a little room, but it was clearly not company-specific. So I think, Ian, some of your concerns about if you're in that high inflation or higher inflation, higher borrowing rate country within the Eurozone, shouldn't you be reflecting something that's specific to the microclimate in which you're operating? And I think if you step back and think about IFRS 19, it was saying, well, we are specifically telling you not to be specific to the company.
Well, but then if that's the case, why did they say you have to use bonds in the same currency? Why can't you just go to the worldwide market for bonds?
Wait.
Patricia.
She wrote IFRS 19.
Well,
because you cannot
use the history of the debate over the discount rate was that the standard setters wanted a risk-free rate, and the plan sponsors wanted the rate on the plan assets. And sort of as a compromise, they came up with the rate that the obligation is denominated in, because they felt that the assets had absolutely nothing to do with the obligation, so why should you use the rate on the assets? However, they were sort of sympathetic to the notion that maybe the risk-free rate back in those days in the country that developed 19, that the government rate was too, a risk-free rate would be too low, because
I read the minutes of this one. Yeah.
So they they settled on this rate. But to your point, Ian, about the using the rate in the microclimate, you could sort of think of Europe now as an analogized to the United States. Each state government has its own borrowing rate, which is much higher than the federal government rate. So if the company is incorporated in California, and even though its liability is denominated in
US dollars,
should they be using the California state bond rate?
I guess I have trouble with the analogy between the U.S. and Europe, but I understand your point.
Very good. Are you?
The ask from you is purely based on the currency,
yes,
without any other condition as you have to accept.
I wanted to go further and say that if it's your currency is pegged, then you need to use that. If there's a clear correlation between the pegging, then you need to think about it in the same line.
As you have.
I want to expand it rather than decrease it.
Because, you know, even though they use the same currency, but as I say, asset liabilities are not, you know, fully float between the different zones.
Martin.
And I think if you discount
this,
I think it's very clear, if you discount future cash flows on the liability side, you can only use a discount rate in the same currency.
Yeah. Right.
All other things does not make any sense. So I think that it just should be the same currency is absolutely okay. My only concern is really BC3. We should then say, okay, because the purpose of that was to address concerns people have if in their country, with their currency, the market in high corporate and high quality corporate bonds are not high liquid, then should we expand if it is the same currency? That was the question. Yes, it should be, but my only problem was it should not go the other way around. And if we, I think, have some wording changes in BC3, I think we can achieve that. That was my only.
Germany should not go to Spain, but Spain comes to Germany.
Don't have. If you have already in your country with this currency, you have a liquid market that is efficient. There is not. We require that you have to go then include Spain, Italy, and Greece, and whatever. But if you are maybe in Greece and you don't have really a liquid market, you should, before you go to government bonds, maybe you should look at the whole currency zone, which is then including Germany or whatever. I think that was the purpose. And if we clarify that, I think that is totally okay.
I just think we can accomplish that quite easily because talking a bit of a DC point, but make a point about change in method. And, you know, if you no longer have a deep market in your own country, that's the reason why you have to change your method and, let's say, look at a euro-wide index. But if you've always been using your own country and there continues to be high quality, deep and liquid market and high quality corporates, you wouldn't be required to change your method of calculation. I think we can just wrap on that piece from our page.
I am concerned, though, that we would impair comparability between companies because we're saying we've got the same euro amount, for nominal amount in terms of the liability, but we're going to measure it differently from one country to another just because of local things.
But then you have to really determine about is the iBox, euro iBox. You have to give an indices, which really you should, if you want to have comparability, because otherwise people would bring their basket based on their own method.
Yeah.
But isn't it best to stay silent on this and let people find a solution?
Yeah.
Why? That's
but again, my point was only different, because I think if you have it as it is now proposed, I think some auditors and maybe some regulators will come with the idea and saying, no, you should, if you have now a German company, you have used really an average of high quality corporate bonds in Germany. No, that is not sufficient. You should really include every high quality corporate bond which is issued in euro currency. That was my concern, and I think based on this text, somebody could conclude that.
That sounds like a preference already. Anyway.
That was only my point.
I think we need to wrap this up. I think
some doing that, I acknowledge that, but maybe there are some other companies that are not doing that. And we don't want that company that they change.
We're assuming here, just to clarify, we're assuming that when we say high quality, we're implying we're referring to ratings, and they are foreign currency ratings, not local currency ratings, correct?
Yeah, practice is those higher ones on the international scale. Yes.
So essentially we're looking at the sovereign risk of Europe as a whole. We're not saying the sovereign risk of Germany is better than Spain and better than France and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
We're looking at the sovereign risk here, which is effectively what's embedded in the obligation as a whole. So when you think of high quality, Martin, I don't think you have high quality in Spain, you have high quality in Germany. It's one entire market that you're determining high quality for. That's the way I would read this.
Yeah.
So corporate bonds?
Okay. Yes, and so you agree?
We look at the cap.
Yes, yeah. So I don't think you have that problem that you're concerned with.
Okay, listen. I think we need to wrap this up. I think we've got general, somebody will tell me if I'm wrong, agreement that we move from country to currency, but we've got some problems to address. One is Martin's problem. He doesn't agree. And the other one, though, that we've gone silent on is all the other currencies and currencies that are pegged to other currencies and how this would affect all of those.
These are not our intentions.
Pardon? This is not just a European issue, and we've addressed it as a European issue. And I think the other parts of the world need to be at least drawn into the argument.
This would apply to any other currency union as well.
What about Ecuador that uses the US dollar?
Yeah, you've said currency unions a couple of times, and that doesn't come through in the amendments. East Timor uses the US dollar, Ecuador uses the US dollar. There are other countries that use
not currency union, because of historical development, like Hong Kong now, it's going to become more and more popular.
Wait, I don't want to go back over. Yes. I understand your point, and that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
That we need to consider those as well.
I misspoke. The terms that we've used in the basis here is the same currency, a regional market sharing the same currency. That's what the amendment is about.
So how does Ecuador fit into that?
In US dollar, Ecuador should look at corporate bonds issued in US dollars.
Okay.
But Ecuador as well?
Yes. And I think that should be spelled out a bit, because it's not something that you'd automatically pick up. So what would be the process if we agree to that now? You would go to drafting?
We would, yeah.
Is everybody?
This is a draft CD, now the draft final.
Yes. Draft.
Is everybody happy to proceed on that?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I've been a very bad chairman. We're way behind schedule. So we'll take 10 minutes break for coffee and then.